Welcome to the premiere episode of International Iron. I am Jeff Roberts, and I'm joined by my co-host, Lee Priest. How's it going, Lee?
Very well, thank you. Nice, stinking hot day down under, that's for sure. So I'm sure you're in the cold, and I'm down here sweating it out in the heat and humidity, and other parts of Australia got the big bushfires going, so... Yes, it's another nice hot day down here, even though I'm a day ahead of you still, so.
Good stuff. So, Lee, I heard you had you have a new writing job in the industry?
Yep, starting to write a new column again, so that wants to send questions in, please do so.
What's that new magazine that guy started? He was with MD, right? And then he left, and what's it called now? He's got
wasn't it
Greg Valentino?
Muscle Sports Mag?
Yeah,
Muscle Sports. Yeah, so yeah, they got so I've only done two at the moment, so it's going pretty good. But you know, it's going to be about any topic. So you know, bodybuilding's fun to talk about, but to me, it's like how many times can you rehash a arm training article, a leg training article, or you know, I don't mind answering those types of questions. But you know, training to me is pretty basic. You know, I prefer out there type of questions or general life questions or even something more motivational that's related to training, whether now it's even just having your mind in the right frame of mind for training and things like that, rather than, Lee, how many sets should I do for biceps and how many reps and should I do them slow, should I do them fast, what about this new HIIT training, what about this type of training. So you know, I'm the type of person, I just rather general, any type of general question. Like I said, it can be training, but like I said, I've all read the magazines year after year, and half the stuff's just all rehashed garbage. So, you know, I like people to make the questions a bit more interesting and more open and general knowledge, whether it even be about whatever's happening on the news, anything at all.
Yeah, we're going to, here on Iron Matter, we're going to have an off-topic radio too that's just completely off-topic, not really about bodybuilding. And this one's going to be more of a, just so people more of a interactive, like fan Q&A. If anyone, for any odd reason, has a question for me, but mostly, you know, have questions for Lee. I know people love to ask you questions, but just so people know, if you want to ask Lee about anything that's not related to bodybuilding and how much synthol he shoots, go, you know, you're free to ask it. But, yep, we got some pretty good feedback, considering it's a brand new show. You got a bunch on Instagram, and I got some questions on Facebook, too.
I'll eventually get back on there, maybe on Facebook, but I'm taking a break for a while. It's like Instagram, I figured I got more followers there, so I can reach out to a few more there, so it's easy to control as well. So, and plus, you know, 5,000 or so on Facebook, and after time they just write garbage, and I'm sick of seeing pictures of their friggin' chicken breasts and broccoli in containers set their prep for the week, so it's getting a bit old, so I just needed a break.
Yep,
I wonder what's going to come next, though, because remember when MySpace came out, and MySpace was this big, huge thing. Everyone was on MySpace, and then it sort of died a quiet death, and then Facebook came out, so it always beggars the mind what's going to come next.
Yeah, I mean, when I first got like introduced to Facebook, it was like a collegiate thing. You had to be part of a college. Mm-hmm. It was all based on being part of a college school. You couldn't be like a 18-year-old college student get on Facebook. You had to have like some sort of school credential, and then eventually just got into like everything and became what it is now. It's like corrupted. You have like people
pretty
posting.
Much now to be on Facebook, you got to be like 80% fuckwit.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like I said, it's just turned. That's what, the thing that really annoys me most is it is pretty bad, because like you said, if you watch any news programs and you actually see people, sadly, young kids have committed suicide from the bullying that goes on Facebook and all this sort of stuff. But to me, it's like, then you see the parents come on and say they're bullied on Facebook. To me, it's like, then get off the shit. Just delete it. You don't need to be on there. Your true friends are going to be around. You can see them in real life. Half the times the people that are bullying you or people don't even know you who are writing crap about you. So it's like either just block them or get off it altogether. That's what I can't understand when they say, well, these people say this to me on Facebook and they're doing this. Get off the bloody thing. You don't need it. You know, we all survived without it years before. But to me, it's so much. To this day and age, yeah, so many people are just so into you know, all this social media stuff, which is good for promoting stuff if you have businesses and this sort of stuff, but for communication, shit, get out in the real world and talk to people like we used to do.
Mm-hmm. It's full of so much, like, all it is people posting links to bullshit stories and bullshit videos that probably 9 times out of 10 aren't true, are fake, and they're just negative, like, mother watches daughter die in pool, like shit like that, and the video of it. It's all it is. Like, what the fuck is that? Like, who's, I don't want to see that. And then if you stop scrolling at the wrong time, the shit just plays. It plays without you clicking play.
Oh, yeah. And then you just get the ones that post, get the ones that just post something like, oh, I can't believe that happened. And then that's it. It's like, what? What happened? It's like,
yeah. And you have to click on it. Then it's a bunch of spam shit. Yeah. Fucking,
yeah, but like I said, I always laugh at people. I said, can I have arguments with people? I say, look, being a pro athlete, okay, it's good to be on there for the fans and that, but then there's so many idiots on there, sort of, I want to get off for a while, just give it a break and stuff. But like I said, really, if you're on there and you actually had, like when I ask people, what are you on it for? They say, well, I can keep in contact with my family members and friends. I said, well, family members and friends, for one, should have your email. They should have your phone number so they can text you. Like I said, they can Skype if you've got a computer. They can send emails. So on emails, they can send you photos. They can send you photos through text messages. So really, all the stuff you can do on Facebook, you can do on your phone if they're your true friends and that. But to me, it's, people just love to see drama, I think, and just love to see, it's almost like being a voyeur in everyone else's life and see what other people are getting up to and all the crap that's going on with everyone else in the world. Because really, if it came down to it, we're on the friends list, if I actually put down actual people I knew and actual close friends and family, I probably wouldn't have over 30, 40, 50 people at most, you know? So,
Yep.
I think everyone just loves to see the drama in everyone else's life going on around the world.
Yeah, people's lives are boring, so they want to watch everyone else. That's pretty much describes it.
But that's what I did around Christmas. I said, you know, I got all my Christmas shopping done. So, you know, Jade likes to go shop and look around. So while she's looking around, I just find a nice bench there in the shopping center and watch families walking past arguing all day. About presents, arguing about this. First, the fight's starting in the car park. People are trying to find the place to park. So, now, Christmas is meant to be a happy time, but it seems to bring out the worst in people in the shopping centers.
I work in a mall, so I see it all day. It's just like miserable people, like from mid-November all the way to January 1st, just people are just miserable and in a hurry.
Too, and it's always the same. The last few days, people just go like, it's the end of the world. It's like, hey, idiots, it's not like this is the first Christmas ever and someone says, you know what, we've invented this new thing called Christmas. You can buy gifts and that. Then, you know, like I said, last minute rush all the time. It's like it's been happening for years. Be prepared early. Buy gifts throughout the year. Buy gifts, you know, October, November. Start putting gifts away in the cupboard then. Why have this last minute rush? And I'm not sure whether it's the same over there, but, you know, here you'll have a public holiday. So if they say, you know, Coles, Woolworths, or the grocery stores are going to be shut for a day, people go there the day before, like it's, you know, a Holocaust is coming and they're going to run out of food. It's like they go clear the shelves.
It's exactly the same.
The store's only shut for one bloody day. You should have enough food in your cupboard to get you through one day of the grocery store being closed.
Yeah. You have people, I mean, I would say, the week of Christmas or a week before Christmas is really the only time that it's packed. I mean, you could December 15th, it's not even that busy. You get to December 18th and it gets busy. Then the 2 days before Christmas, you can't even move in the place. It's like, why did you all come here the day before Christmas? Like, you don't think it's going to be like this?
And then the day after, like Boxing Day, the Boxing Day sales and people returning shit, then it's like the few days after that, then they have all these other sales. I'm thinking, Jesus, I said, have you people had enough of shopping and spending money? It's like, get out. It's like,
yeah.
It's crazy, but they still do it every year. It happens every year.
Yep. So if anyone has any questions for Lee, get them in. They'll be on my Facebook. You can hit my Facebook, Jeff Roberts, GEOFF. Roberts. Then Lee Priest on his Instagram, which is Lee A. Priest. Right? Yeah. Yep. All one word. Lee, the letter A, Priest. And I'm on Instagram, Jeff Roberts.
And that A is for Andrew, by the way, not asshole like people might think.
I was wondering. Andrew. Or asshole. Either one works.
Yeah. I've been called worse, so.
So yeah, I'll get him in. We'll probably do the show twice a month, something like that. Depends on the feedback. Depends on how many questions we have. If something comes up that maybe we want to talk about, maybe we'll throw up another show. It's not going to be any strict schedule, but probably twice a month, give or take, would be a good rate. So let's we'll dig into these questions now. All right, first one I have. This is from my buddy Hanza. Most people know him on the boards as Guru Hanza. He's been around the boards a while. Let's see, he said he wants to hear about Lee talk about his goals right now. Is he going to do more shows in the NABBA, or is he, quote, retired?
I'm not going to be one of those guys that say I'm retired, because, you know, you say you retire, but then you get that urge that hits again, you come out of retirement. But presently for this year, my goal right now is I'm putting on the Lee Priest Pro-Am Classic in March in Australia, which they want me to guest pose at. So come January 19th, I'll start some sort of dreaded cleaner eating regimen and start dieting for that. And then I figured there's a show I've been asked to do in England May 9th called the Hercules Olympia, which is like a non-affiliated show, and it's run really well. And I like the people in England. They're as crazy as me, covered in tattoos and no bullshit down to earth. So I'm thinking, well, if I got a diet to guest pose at my own show, maybe I'll stick to the diet for an extra 6-7 weeks and go over and compete in that. So touch wood, I don't get injured, nothing bad happens. That's the goals for right now. And I bought a lotto ticket every week, so if I win the lotto, then screw the contest, screw the dieting, and goodbye. I'll go find an island somewhere and just sit there in a hammock and eat ice cream.
Nice. Hanza, in the same question, asks, he's interested in what your like daily schedule is. What does he do morning? What does he do morning all the way until he goes to bed? Is he training clients, works on promotion for his sponsors, or does he spend 24 hours a day with the family?
Pretty much with the family at the moment because it's holiday time, but we have a thing here called Oosh, which starts next week. So my 5-year-old and 6-year-old will go there early in the morning, about 8 o'clock, and they take them on field trips and games and the zoos and all that sort of stuff. So for 3 weeks, they're going to go there because, you know, said at home over the Christmas holidays, they start to get bored. And, you know, I got like blow up castles in the backyard, trampolines, but even that after a while they start to, you know, push and fight. So they'll go there, and the youngest one who's turning 3, he'll go to a daycare 3 times a week. Then I'll go back to training twice a day. But I normally just get up in the morning about 6, make breakfast for everyone, then while I'm cleaning up, Jade gets them dressed and we get ready, head off to the gym for a couple of hours, and after the gym come home, do what I have to do. If I have to answer emails or stuff like that, then with the kids now being on holidays, and maybe just take them into the beach, hang out, eat ice cream, come home, play in the water. I like working around the yard, so I'll do a bit of yard work and stuff like that. And then in the afternoon, we'll go back to the gym again. And then that's pretty much it. And then they're pretty much just laid back stuff like that, not really into the partying and going out. So we're not that type of thing. Sometimes it's just like sit back, kick back, watch movies. And watch some movie yesterday called Savaged. Wasn't too bad. It's like, have you ever seen that movie, the remake of I Spit on Your Grave? Sort of like that, where a girl's been driving across country to visit a boyfriend, or it's going to have the guy she's going to marry, her fiance, and saves this one Indian guy who's being murdered, but then she gets captured and raped and abused and then dies, but this Indian thing brings her back to life with this old Indian spirit in her, so she goes on this revenge killing spree. So actually, it wasn't too bad for a B-grade type movie, so scenes were good. I've actually been to the movies because, like I said, having the kids, haven't been to a movie for a while, so I normally just wait for the DVD, or my friend will give me a USB with some that he's downloaded. So, but I haven't really seen any new big blockbusters lately.
Do you have Netflix? Do they have that?
I don't think so. I think we have something similar, but not Netflix itself. But we have like the stuff now we can get all stuff through your TV, and here it's Foxtel, like a thing like that. We can get different packages and get movies, just like rent them free. It's TV because type thing. So
a lot of the Netflix movies here are B horror movies and stuff. Sometimes there's good movies, but there's usually like a handful of legitimately good movies, and then a handful of good movies that are very old like Rocky, something like that, and then then a bunch of B movies. It's better for shows.
Are you like me? Have you ever had one of those movies that's just so bad and that shit? You wonder yourself, how the hell did they make this? But I'll sit there and watch it to the end just to see how it ends because it's that bad. I got to know how it ends because it's just so
I've seen movies like that in the theater. Like right from 5 minutes in, it's like just you can't even understand how they thought this was going to be a good movie, but it's almost entertaining to watch it because it's so poor.
Yeah, and then some other movies they won't put at the movie theater that are actually pretty good. They went to go straight to DVD, so I can't work it out. So.
Yeah.
but like I said, I've seen some bad ones, but I can't remember. Like I said, even on DVD, I can't remember what I last watched. Yeah, I can't remember what was the latest ones that are coming out, but I can't remember. I know I wanted to watch the new Hobbit one because it's the last one, thank God.
Yeah, I went and saw that.
I never saw the last... What was it, the one with the Catching Fire, whatever that one's meant to be, that series one with the girl and the bow and arrow and...
The Hunger Games?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, I figured I'd watch that either. My wife liked that.
I think I'll wait for the very last one to come out, then I can just watch them both together. But now I missed out the last two seasons of Smallville, so I caught up on watching them. I'm more into the TV shows. Jade, my fiance, she loves that one. American Horror Stories, TV series up to the Freak Show one right now. And then I like Person of Interest, watch that one. I watched all of Hannibal, that TV series. It was good. Loved The Following with Kevin Bacon. That was good, those two seasons. So
yep.
I've actually been into them. And like I said, I missed the last few of Smallville. So I think I got four episodes to go with the final season of that. But sometimes I get into those, but then the thing is I waste a whole day because once you watch one episode, because there's no ads, they only go 40, 45 minutes, so then you're into the next one, before you know the whole bloody day's gone, you watch 10 episodes of one TV series.
Have you seen the movie Number 23 with Jim Carrey?
Is that an older one?
It's not that old. It's probably a year or two.
I don't think so. I'm probably thinking of another one where I saw where he saw the number 23 everywhere.
Yeah, that one.
Okay, yeah.
I think I did see it.
I thought that was an awesome movie. Yeah.
Because Jim Carrey was serious. He wasn't funny in it. So he was actually played like a serious character in a serious role. I thought it was awesome.
I actually liked, I was going to watch it again the other day, but I didn't put it on, but The Cable Guy, which a lot of people hated.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good.
Played a good, crazy, psychotic stalker neighbor in Cable Guy in that one, but I do like the preview for Dumb and Dumber too. It looks pretty good.
I saw that. It was surprisingly good because I mean no one's gonna say it's as good as the original because that's just how people are. But
it's good too. It actually looked like they have an age. They look the same as they did in the first one.
Yeah, I mean with those two guys, especially Jim Carrey. I mean Jim Carrey in a movie is kind of like throwing darts at the ground. It's kind of hard to miss with that guy. Plus. I'll say this, the biggest difference between the new Dumb and Dumber and the old one is the new one incorporates more characters and there's a little bit more like footage of other people than just Lloyd and Harry. Whereas the first one was mostly all like Lloyd and Harry, but it was, I wouldn't say it was quite as good, but it was really close. I mean, it was hilarious.
But it's worth seeing, in other words.
Oh yeah, definitely. If you like the first one, it's definitely worth seeing.
Okay. Yeah, so as I said, my mate just went to see that new Russell Crowe one, The Water Divider. He said that was pretty good about his sons that go off to war and then he wants to go find them because he's not sure if they're dead or still alive. That's like back in the Anzac War thing. He said that's pretty good. I never got to see Exodus. I heard mixed reviews on that, so I'd have to maybe wait for it to come out on DVD.
Yeah. I tend to be really.
I always like when those movies come out, like Noah or that one there about Moses, and all the critics come out. It's like it's a movie. It's going to be taken. You know, it's not going to be going word for word from the Bible. You know, it's just like you look at Noah. I'm sure there weren't big stone creatures walking around fighting people. But you know, people are like that didn't happen. It's like whatever. It's a movie.
Yeah, it's like the new Jurassic Park movie. There's people bitching about the historical inaccuracies. It's like Jesus Christ. They're talking about a. They resurrected dinosaurs from mosquito blood. Like, God, it's a movie. If it was a story looking accurate, it wouldn't be very
that
fucking...
That dinosaur only had 55 teeth, not fucking 50.
Yeah, like,
Jesus
you couldn't
Christ,
make a hybrid,
right.
Like, it's like, get the fuck out of here. Like, you're missing the
like
point,
I said,
I
you
think.
Watched that, like I said, the not the latest one, but even you watch that last Fast and Furious, not the latest one that hasn't come out yet, but the one before, you know, where they've got those scenes where they're on the freeway and he leaps from one side of the freeway off the car, flies through the air, catches the girl and lands on another car, and people are like, oh, that couldn't happen, that couldn't happen. It's like, well, no shit, dickhead, you know. It's like, you know, I watched Superman and guess what? A guy can't really fucking fly either with a cape on. It's just a movie. It's
like, yeah, seriously.
So people look for these hidden meanings. It's like, I want to just go see a movie. You know, some movies that are based on actual fact I like too, but normally when I want to go see a movie, all I want to see is entertained. Turn my brain off and just watch, you know, action and not have to think about it. You know, there hasn't been some hidden message. Just if there's a good guy, bad guy, we all pretty much know how it's going to end. Let's just see action from beginning to end. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, no, 100%. So this is actually a good segue into the next question. This is from, he's JSS on the boards. He's actually from Australia. Julian Smith, his name is. He said, what was with you being in the commercials for Big Brother? Everyone thought you were going to be in the show.
No, that was what it was. It was because, you know, Big Brother, you had a lot of the idiots that people hate, you know, the stereotypical type, you know, guys strut around, almost like the Jersey Shore type wanks. So it was like, that year they were changing up. They were trying to get, like, normal people in the house. So we're on the commercial acting like those guys in the tank tops strutting around, like the big-headed guys. And they had, like, the bimbo girls in the commercial. And then it was like the big invisible wall come up and we got shut out. So the commercial was more for showing that us type of people weren't going to be in it. But a lot of people thought I was going to be in it. But like I said, the people, I can't stand that show. So if I was on that show, it would be reality, all right, because when they're all sleeping at night, I think I'd stab the fucking lot of them.
Yeah,
I can't stand that show. I was like, oh, my God. It's like, too many reality shows these days aren't really reality. It's like so much of it is so scripted. It's like, you know, just let people be themselves. But it's not. It's like they want drama. I remember when Craig, the guy who used to do my tattoos in Texas, he was meant to go on this show. It was him and his wife because they're covered in tattoos. There was a gay couple. I think there was an African-American couple. There's almost like six or seven different couples that had to live in this house.
So they can create drama, yeah.
Yeah, but what they wanted to do was live in the house and then the people in the street would vote, you know, it would be on TV and people could vote too, and then the last couple left actually got to keep the house. And Craig said that never went to air because what happened was everyone that was in the house got on so well, you know, telling them, you know, you got to start fights, you got to cause drama, you got to just go do that, but no one did because they all got on so well they didn't ever put the show on TV. It's like,
yeah, it's like all those reality shows are like, I don't know, the one that I first remember is Real World. They put a bunch of like kids basically in a house together. It's like, what makes you think that putting like 10 kids in a house together would be entertaining to watch? I mean, 99 times out of 100, they would get together pretty good or get along pretty good, and there'd be no entertainment at all. You'd be watching a bunch of people just live together. So of course they have to make it, you know, put up scripts and whatever to make it so that it's watchable, you know?
Yeah, so like I said, those Jersey Shore ones. I remember when I was in America when that Growing Up Gotti come on, I'm like, oh my God, someone shoot me. Then to this day, I still can't believe the bloody Kardashians goes on. It's like, oh shit, who watches that crap? It's like, yeah, you know, that's so ridiculous. Fake. The only show I used to enjoy just because he was funny was the Osbournes. Ozzy was pretty funny. I used to like that one, but you know.
Yeah.
Because pretty much, you know, whatever came out of his mouth, you pretty much know wasn't scripted because I don't think he knew what he was saying half the time.
Yeah. It's a miracle that guy is still alive.
Isn't it funny? Even him and who's the other one that plays, I forget his name. He was in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Oh, wow. God, I can't think of his name now.
Yeah, but he's been around just as long and done every drug under the sun, and it's like they're still going.
The main character of Pirates of the Caribbean?
And not Johnny Depp himself, but I think he played like his father on there or something. I can't remember his name. He always wears the scarves on his head in real life. I'll probably come to me later, but you know.
No, I can't.
But he's another one of those old guys from the rock and roll era who, like you said, has probably done so many drugs but still going. So, but then you get the ones like Bieber, Justin Bieber, who you wish were bloody died at, don't.
Yeah, I think you would have been perfect on one of those reality shows when you were like 23. Because there's usually like one jacked guy who's just a prick, and I would have liked
been
to go,
a prick. I wouldn't have been a prick. I would have just been un-PC. So I would would have been the one who'd get in trouble for just being, probably just being honest, talking normal and just, you know, saying what was on my mind. So, well, that's why I said, it's probably when I lived in America, I think I used to love Howard Stern, listening to him all the time and that, because he would just say what comes out. But then it's, again, too, it's like, you know, his online personality is totally different to how he is in real life, but yet it's always just other people always complain about Howard Stern. I'm like, well, if you don't like him, change the bloody channel. It's like there's people that complain about TV shows. It's like, how many stations do you have to choose from? If you've got, you know, Time Warner or, like you said, one of those boxes, I said, you've got hundreds of stations to choose from. Why are you watching something you don't like? So just so you can go online and bitch about it, or if a movie comes out. I remember when Shallow Hal come out, all those fat women lined up to protest the movie. It's like, oh, get a life, people.
I don't even have... I don't even pay for cable. Not that I wouldn't pay for it, but I don't even have cable because 90% of the programs on there, I just upset me. They're so bad and they're just so twisted. So moment, I don't even get it. So it doesn't even come on.
I don't have it at the moment myself. I just, like I said, most of the movies they do show are movies that I've seen before, and they keep playing them over and over again. If I see one more bloody, it's James Bond week again, and we're playing Fury Eyes Only and Goldfinger and all these movies. So if I want movies, like I said, my friend will download some for me, I'll go to the movie theater. And then the only actual channels I did like was the Learning Channel, the Discovery Channel, and a couple of ones like that. And then I like watched the ones that had the drag racing or the NASCAR on, but they're the ones I watched that actually had real programs on about, you know, ancient history and stuff like that, but the rest of them were just crap.
Yeah. It's funny you brought up the Shallow Hal. The guy, you know the show Man vs. Food, right?
Oh, yeah, I've seen it, yeah.
That's one of my favorite shows ever, and apparently that guy, Adam Richman, the host of that show, he lost all this weight after he stopped the show. He got super heavy doing the show for obvious reasons, and then he lost pretty much all the weight. And he put some post up on one of his social media outlets about how something about, like, there's no reason anyone has to be heavy. It's not like a genetic disorder, something along those lines. And apparently it was one of these, like, okay to be fat organizations, like, came down on him to a point where he actually was trying to air a new show, and it actually never aired because of all the stuff he had to deal with, like dealing with the legalities of this organization of fat people that say, like, it's okay to be fat. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't.
Well, like I said, to me, it's like, you know, I sometimes, I said, if I go to the beach with the kids and that, we always go away from everyone because, like I said, for some reason, it seems weird that if somebody's actually in shape, I think you get more crap than if you're out of shape, because I see guys going to the beaches here, I mean, who just drink beer, they're totally out of shape. They take their shirts off, no one looks twice at them. I take my shirt off if I'm in shape, and it's like, you know, look at him showing off steroids, you get everything else under the sun. But to me, it's like, look, if someone's fat and they're overweight, as long as they're not morbidly obese, normally the people who are morbidly obese are either, one, just lazy, or they do have some type of, you know, problem physically, you know, some even just mentally, or stress eating, or some have the thyroid problem. But to me, it's like, I've got a few people I know now who are actually overweight, and I wouldn't say obese, but super heavy, but yet they're as fit as anything. They can go walking for hours and they go to the gym, but yet sometimes they just can't lose the weight, whether it's just their metabolism slowed down or stuff like that. So to me, it's like, I never judge, you know, a book by its cover when I see people and stuff like that. But like you said, there are those groups that come out and say, you know, but everyone's like, it's beautiful to be fat. You know, if you don't, I'm sure people, if they don't, you know, want to be fat, because they say, oh, when I'm fat, I'm uncomfortable, I'm hot, I'm this, I'm that. Well, you can change it, but, like, you know, anyone that trains knows losing weight, you know, once you get into it, is hard to begin with. But then once you get into the eating side of it after a while, the training side, it becomes a way of life, and then it's not hard anymore. And if you can do it with a friend or have a group of people to do it together, that's the best way. Doing it by yourself does get too hard, you know, because you can sort of have those days where you slip and you go back to eating bad food again and put more weight back on. So the people who are going to do it, I always say, you know, have a friend or a couple of friends to do it with, and like I said, get a group together, go to the gym. But even if you can't afford to go to the gym, I tell people, yeah, look, just go outside, walk around the block, walk around the beach, wherever you are, you can go walking. There's no, you know, it doesn't cost anything to just get outside and walk. And then I said, you know, to me, I don't even call it a diet. You know, we know what foods are good, we know what foods are bad. you know, just eat a bit healthier. You know, that's all it takes. You know, sure, once you start losing the weight, you can throw in a little bit of cheat meal here and there or just a bit of junk food. But just as long as you keep moving and doing stuff, that's what you got to do. But some people, like I said, just don't want to do that. They think they can just, I'll lose it one day. And, here we are in the new year. I'm sure, you know, a lot of gyms in the next couple of weeks are going to get a ton of memberships. Go in again like every year, and the gyms will be packed until February, March. They start dying off again. So it's crazy.
Yeah, it's funny how people can be – you can't tell a fat person they're fat, but, boy, can you tell a fit person they look like shit. Especially the women seem to be worse. Like you have a girl who posts a picture where she has, like decent abs – and she just gets slaughtered by like other women who just say like disgusting, gross, man. It's like shut the hell up. Like no one's calling you a fucking flubby housewife. Like shut up.
I know. I just had the exact same thing. Like when I used to go to the beach, I said I'd go with Jade and the kids and get away, and I'd sit there on the beach and she's like, you're going to take your shirt off. And I'm like, oh, there's too many people. So it'd almost take me 10, 15, 20 minutes before I took my shirt off. And then as soon as I do, people start staring. And then I said, when I had Facebook, somebody would put my picture up, you know, somebody might have taken my photo and put it somewhere else, you know, just on a thing. And some guy might say, oh, I like this guy, he inspires me. But then all their friends, that's disgusting. Who'd want to look like that, this and that. But then when I'm looking at the people who are saying it, I'm thinking, God, look at you people. I said, you know, a bodybuilder in contest shape, if we wanted to be nasty, I said, we could be the most nasty people out there walking around. Look at you, you skinny prick. Look at you, you fat thing. Look at you. But to me, it's like I said, I don't care. If people are happy, they're happy. I don't care what shape they are, how they look to me. I couldn't care less. But yet, like I said, if you are in shape, you seem to get more crap than anyone these days, because it seems, I know around here where I am, being in shape and just taking care of yourself isn't like the norm. You know, like I said, if you eat fast food, drink beer, hang out at the pub and have a beer gut, that's the norm. So no one cares.
Yeah. Speaking of you on the beach, that picture out there where you're like off season on the beach and you're drinking the McDonald's drink, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that was in Hawaii. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's an awesome picture.
I actually went over there. I got to find the other picture. I'm actually got the same thing, and I'm actually had an underwater camera, so I'm laying on the bottom of the underwater drinking this out of the same McDonald's cup with fish swimming by. I got to try and find that one. But it was so funny because the guy that took me over there worked for McDonald's. They gave me this McDonald's gold card, and I was staying in those twin hotel things just near there, right near the beach. And every morning I'd go down, I'd have McDonald's. I'd have McDonald's breakfast, lunch, dinner and that. But then I became friends with some of the homeless guys out front. So come the morning time, that was the biggest eater, because I was going in with that gold card and I was buying all the homeless people out the front McDonald's for breakfast.
That's awesome.
So for about a week, I think they thought, shit, this guy can eat a lot of breakfast.
what island were you on?
Just Honolulu, that little one, isn't it? That's the small one, just the main tourist one.
I think Honolulu's on like the second biggest one. There's like, because we went to, for our honeymoon, we went to Kauai, which is a small, like the small garden island. It was awesome.
Yeah. Well, I was just there in Honolulu, so I was on the one where you walk every five steps and there's an ABC shop.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Chocolate macadamia nuts everywhere you go.
I think it's all like that. There's like, I ate so many macadamia nuts there, man. I didn't want to see him for air.
Yeah, it was nice. I went over there a couple of times at guest post. So, yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah, but the funny thing is, when I'm there, I'm probably not sure if you live there, you get used to it. But even when I was over there, it's like those type of places, it's like, you know, I don't feel like training when you're there, because it's just so relaxing and laid back. And it's just like, I went to that Gold's Gym there where you're overlooking the beach and you're looking at the window thinking, shit, I don't want to be any training. I'd rather be just out there on the beach relaxing and snorkeling just around the water and stuff like that. So it's definitely. But I guess if you live there, it's like, I know when I lived near Venice Beach, when I first went there, you'd go down to Venice Beach, hang out and that, but then living there for like 9 years in the Venice Beach area, it's like, I think I went there only for like a friend came to town, I'd take him down there because I think you just take it for granted, you know. But then when I moved away to Austin, Texas, and then I lived in Scottsdale, Arizona, you're like, fuck, I wish I could go to the beach. But like I said, when you live there, you take it for granted and never go.
Right, yeah. I hate the beach anyways. Like, I'm just not a beach person.
Sand gets in everything.
Yeah, and like laying out with my, like, I don't know. I don't really care how tan I am. Doesn't bother me. And the sand everywhere, and it's just not my thing. Where my wife loves it. So we go, like, we're in Hawaii, like, I would just, you know, I'd sit under a tree in the shade with my clothes on, and she'd be laying out, you know. But
But on hot days, I don't see the point going to the beach because it was a nice warm day. So we'll say it's like here, 26, 27 degrees. Okay, it's nice because sun's out, it's warm, it's not too hot. You go in the water, you can sit out a bit. But I see these guys going to the beach when it's in mid-30s, 40 degrees. You're stinking hot. You go to the water, it's like by the time you get back up to your towel after you got to run across the hot sand, you're too hot, so you're going back in the water. By the time you get back to your car's probably 100 bloody degrees. So to me, it just doesn't make sense. It's like, why? Yeah.
In a world of advanced bodybuilding supplementation, the numbers don't lie. Fact, Iron Mag Labs is among the fastest growing hardcore supplement companies in the world. Fact, when it comes to no-nonsense, cutting-edge products, nobody delivers results like Iron Mag Labs. Fact, the Iron Mag Labs line of innovative formulation has set a new industry standard with products that are helping world-class bodybuilders reach levels they never thought possible. Iron Mag Labs is a proud supporter of bodybuilders everywhere. Discover the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements on the market. Visit ironmaglabs.com today.
Oh, this is from Keith Allen. He says, or he asks, have you ever considered filming more bodybuilders reality shows? They were great, especially the double DVD best of.
Not at the moment, no, but I know Scott, who did it, still has, there's a ton of footage out there that we still haven't used. He could probably actually make another double DVD, but at the moment now I just do those ones with Sam's Fitness when I go down to Sam's just to demonstrate some of the home gym equipment. Then we do the same sort of thing there. We run through some questions that people email in, but I actually like those type of things because, you know, like I said, people like to see the training side, but yet I found with those reality things, people would rather see me when I was out racing, when I was out going to the beach, when I was out eating. They like to see what you do more in your outside life. And they think, well, really, look, he's just like us. And that's what I used to tell people. Look, I am just like you. I go to the gym like you. I do stuff like you. I shit, you know, I do everything else that other humans do. Just because, like I said, I was a top pro bodybuilder at that point in time doesn't make me any different to anybody else. They think there's, like, your life is so different. No, some days you have good days, you have bad days. Some days, you know, it's shitty, and, you know, people think, oh, you got a great life. You know, I remember when I was young, you'd see the picture of Tom Platz down on the beach near the Corvette. You're like, wow, look at that. Just train, eat, and sleep. But no, you still got to pay bills. There's still taxes. There's still everything else. And like I said, you know, I can't complain because I love what I do. But yet, like I said, people think it's all just, you know, sunshine and flowers every day. But no, we have our ups and downs like anybody else. But, you know, I've enjoyed it. The, you know, like I said, been doing it for so long now. It's like, what, competing since the age of 13 to now, and still enjoy it. But like I said, you have those days. But I said, to me, it's more mental than anything. Like today, I was squatting outside, and like I said, it was so hot, I only got the three plates aside. And the week before, I was doing five and a half plates, but the three and a plates, just with the heat beating down on my head, I'm like, that's it. You know, I'm going inside type thing. So, man, to me, now it's just more mental than anything when I train. It's like, if you know yourself, if your mind's in the right frame of mind in anything in life, you know, things are great. You know, so many things are determined by the state of mind you're in. It's not really physically, it's more mental.
Your old ass is still squatting five plates, huh?
Yeah, actually felt good. Actually, I stopped doing them for a while because every time I get back into doing them, I think that feels good. You know, I might not do them for 4 months. I was like, that feels good. Add more weight. You know, because I haven't done them for so long, and all of a sudden something goes, and then I don't do them again for a couple of months. But this time I've sort of been smarter. I'm just slowly adding the weight, even if it's just an extra 10 kilos each week, I just keep slowly going up rather than, slap a couple more plates on, then something goes somewhere. So
one of those things on the YouTube, Sam's Fitness thing, that said you had just recently lost like 12 kilos. Is that recent? Mm-hmm.
That was probably a little while ago. Yeah, I just sort of cleaned up my eating. It's like, you know, even off season, you know, I still eat somewhat clean, but it's like I said, it's not actually the main meals I eat, because they'll be like, you know, steak and rice and chicken and vegetables, and for tea I'll have like steak and potatoes, stuff like that, but I sort of shit in between, you know. Here it's like yesterday I had steak and vegetables for lunch, but then when we went for a drive to the beach, I drove past Domino's Pizza and they got the large pizzas on sale right now for $4.95. So we brought a couple for us and the kids, and then sat down near the beach and ate them. And sure, what do you know, what happens next? The ice cream truck pulls up, so I had to buy some ice cream. But then a little bit later, I'll come home and then I'll have chicken and vegetables. So normally when I want to lose weight for either contest or anything else. It's just that crap food in between my meals I cut out, because my main meals are still pretty healthy. It's sort of shit I eat in between. So say on an off-season day, I could be eating 3,500 calories of clean food, but then there'll be another 2,500 calories of just shit in between that, whether it be ice cream, cakes, donuts, muffins. Well, like last week, a new donut shop opened up, and so we went and brought donuts there. I spent like $25 on donuts there. And then we stopped at the 7-Eleven. Oh, look, here's the new Christmas selection of Krispy Kreme donuts. So I spent another $20 there. And then I went down to this cupcake place where they had all these new Christmas cupcakes and spent $40 on cupcakes. So I spent almost $100 just on donuts and cupcakes in a matter of 2 hours. I'm like, what a load of shit.
Yeah.
So that's all that sort of stuff I got to cut out.
Let's see. My buddy Anders, he's from Sweden, I believe. He wants to know, he says, everyone has some regrets in their lives. What are your regrets, Lee?
Regrets? Probably more on the personal side, like when I was in America, maybe should have kept in contact with the family more, spoke to them more. Like they would call and stuff, but whoever I was with at the time, I'd have them talk to them, because they always, to me, I never really liked talking about bodybuilding on myself. That's what they wanted to talk about. And then, you know, comes that point in your life where they pass away, you think, oh shit, I should have taken those phone calls and talked to them also. Probably more things like that. As far as bodybuilding goes, people say, Lee, you know, do you regret, you know, being outspoken like you were? But I said, to me, I don't see myself as being outspoken. I just thought, you know, if something's wrong in the sport, why shouldn't we bring attention to it and just say, look, can we try fix this? Can we try do that? But you know, to get labeled a bad boy or troublemaker just because you're doing that to me just seems stupid, you know? But yeah, that's probably a bit of honor, regret, that type of thing. But, you know, it's like, yeah, other stuff as far as training goes and bodybuilding. Nah, I think, you know, I wouldn't be who I am today if I didn't probably act or do what I did or have the fan base I still have today, you know? I've never been, you know, I've never put myself up on a pedestal to try and be someone that I'm not type thing, and I've always tried to treat people with respect and all how they treat me. You know, I don't go places and be like, I'm a pro bodybuilder, get out of my way type, that type of bullshit to me. I'm just leaning to this day when people ask for photographs when I'm out in the mall or somewhere, I still get embarrassed because to me, like I said, I go, oh, you're Lee Priest, blah, blah, blah. But to me, I just see myself as Lee. I'm just Lee. I go to the gym. I love to train. And I said, if I never compete again, if I never competed my whole life, because I never really enjoyed competing, because I was always hated that side of it due to sponsors and stuff, you know, competing was good to go meet the fans and go to expos. But to me, I just love training. That's the main thing that got me into it, because I just love lifting the weights. And then, okay, having to do the competing side was good then, because you get sponsorships and stuff. But then with the sponsorships, you know, they want you to compete. So like a catch-22, I had to compete. But so to me, it's like I was just myself doing what I did. So I don't really have, like I said, bad regrets, but maybe just like I said, being overseas and being away from the family for so long, that's probably the biggest regret.
Okay. I guess a few questions from this guy. I'm assuming he's a pro because his name on Instagram is IFPB Pro Rough Diesel. He asks, do you offer training?
Yeah, if people are serious, I do. Yeah, as I said, but you get a few people who, like I said, if they're serious and they want to listen to me and actually listen, I mean, because when it comes to training, I mean, dieting-wise, then they want to go into the supplement side or even the drug side. And then to me, like I said, I've never been a big drug user, no matter what people say. I've always been upfront with the amounts I use. And then when somebody does want me to help them, and then I do, if they say, look, Lee, can you give me a cycle? I say, well, look, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a chemist. I can give you a rough idea of the small amounts I've used. If you want to try it here, like one guy I helped out, and he ended up winning his class at the Worlds. When I first gave it to him, he wrote me in my back, he goes, are you fucking with me? I said, why? He goes, that's not enough. I said, look, you trust me with your training. You trust me with your diet. Trust me with this. And so he won his class at the Worlds. He goes, Lee, I have to thank you. It's the best I've ever felt. It's the best I've ever looked. And I probably cut his stuff back by half or more. Mm-hmm. So that's the main thing. When I do stuff for people like that and I am being honest and saying, listen, this is what you need, they think I'm lying because they come back and say, well, I read online and I read on this website. I said, look, I'm the guy that's been there. I know what other pros who I've actually known. I'm not going to say I know what this pro take. I know what the ones who have actually spoke to me or have seen them take it. But yet, you know, I'm not going to beat up there just saying, yes, you need this large amount, because you don't. That's why I try and get through to these young kids. You don't need these large amounts. And like I said, I'm a guy that's been there, done it. I'm a pro. I'm not lying, because I've always told them, I said, I'll tell you straight to your face, if I took, you know, 5,000 milligrams, 10,000 milligrams, I said, look, I don't give a shit. I'll tell you the truth, but I haven't. This is what I've done. This is, it will work for you too. Just cut back. But these young kids these days are starting off on a gram of this and a gram of that. To me, it's just crazy. When you do try and tell them the truth, oh, you're lying. You're taking more. I say, why? Well, I read online. I'm thinking, oh, like, here we go. You read online. You read online from who? It's like, you know, I have these people say to me, well, this guy said you take this. I said, who's that? And they'll tell me, and I said, well, I don't even know that guy, so how the hell would he know what I'm taking, for one? I said, I'm telling you right now. Hook me to a lie detector. This is what I've used. So that's just so it annoys me. Anyway, if they want to listen to me and do as I say and that sort of thing, that's fine. But, you know, I hate those ones. Even at the gym, will come ask you a question, and then you see them go off and ask five other people the same bloody question. It's like, okay, well, you know, or the ones that ask for help, and then when I was on Facebook, I'd see them write, going on a bender, this and that. I'm thinking, so I'd write them and say, what are you doing? Well, I'm young, I've got every right to kind of ask. Look, if you want to go on benders and do party drugs, that's fine. But then don't come complaining to me that you're training shit, you're not gaining weight, you're not getting stronger. I said, if you want to do it and you want to compete, fine, then you got to go 100%. If you just want to do it for like a bit of fitness, to go to these fitness raves and stuff and that, do whatever. But don't come to me and ask me all these questions every day when you're not going to follow what I say. It's just a waste of my time and yours.
Yep. Yeah, I have a friend who I actually worked with, I won't say his name, but he's been on like fairly heavy cycles. You know, he's a pretty serious bodybuilder. But the last, like, I don't know, 6 months or so, he's been on basically nothing, like low HRT dose, if that. Mm-hmm. And he's, you know, he's maintained at like 225 pounds. And over this last like 6 months, he's gotten his body composition has gotten so good. I mean, he's probably lost, percentage wise, probably like 5% body fat. He's gone from like off season shape, you know, kind of spare tire, to like downright hard. And he took pretty much nothing. And he's a guy who's been on like heavy stuff.
That's what I'm trying to tell people. Like these other guys that were on this heavy stuff, and I gave them the smaller ones, they looked better, they felt better. I said, and that's what I'm trying to tell them. I said, listen, the only one who's gaining from you using a bottle a week is the guy you're buying it off, because you're spending so much bloody money. You don't need that. Because you know, these young kids, they'll start off, their very first cycle will be, now my very first cycle when I was 19 was 200 milligrams a deca for 8 weeks, and I put on 20 pounds. But these kids these days, they're starting off on a gram a test, it's, you know, then some are 6 Donabol, 10 Donabol. So then the next cycle, well, of course I did a gram a test my first one. The next cycle has to be at least, you know, close to 2 grams a test. So each cycle, I think they've got to get bigger and bigger. But it's like anything, your body can only use so much. You take too many vitamins, you piss it out. Your body doesn't need that much. And like I said, but just trying to get it through to them is like talking to a brick wall sometimes, because they go on all these bloody websites online, so these so-called steroid gurus who are saying, do this, do that. Well, I know such and such a cycle, this is that cycle. I like that one that I put up on Facebook before I got off. It said Lee Priest off-season cycle, Lee Priest cutting cycle. And I was reading them and thinking, I don't even know what half these drugs are. But then when it comes to the bottom, it says, disclaimer, this isn't his real cycle, but if he was to take stuff, this is what we're thinking he might use. And just from that being there, though, sometimes people didn't read the disclaimer at the bottom. I had so many messages, Lee, is this your cycle? I'm like, hell no, it's not my cycle. Like, oh, thank you for telling me that, because I was going to take it. It's like, you know, people it's just
are
stupid.
So, people are so gullible. You know that 8 out of 10 people who read that will believe it, because just because people are, they don't think, you know, they don't use their head. It's like, any person could have written that. Why would you believe that?
I know, I had one time my friend called me up, a true story. He was in the gym, he's just training this guy. He walks past this guy, he hears my name. So this one guy's standing there, he's got like 5 young kids standing around him, and because he heard my name, he just sort of eavesdropped in there, and he's telling these young kids, I used to live with Lee Priest, and I hit on a shitload of stuff. You know, I walked in the bathroom one day, and there he was sitting on the toilet, a syringe in each leg, injecting himself. So my buddy calls me up. He goes, Lee, do you know this guy such and such? I said, no, never heard of him. And he goes, well, he's at the gym right now, saying that he was your roommate and blah, 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 and you were in the bathroom. So I said, put him on the phone. So he hits the phone to me. He goes, hey, I got a phone call for you. He goes, hello. He goes, who's this? I said, well, you should know me. You used to live with me, didn't you? I said, it's Lee Priest, and he just handed the phone back to my buddy, and he took off out the gym. But I'm like, there you go. If my buddy hadn't have been there at that time to hear that, he had 5 young kids standing around him, believing him that he used to live with me, and he came into the bathroom, and I'm sticking syringes in my legs. It's like...
yep. All right, let's get back to these questions. Same guy, IFBB Pro Ruff Diesel, says, what made you believe you were ready to step on a national stage at such a young age? How old were you, by the way?
My first contest I competed in, I was 13 years old. I won my first free body.
Did you ever compete at, like, the Nationals or USA or anything?
Yeah, we have, the Australian Nationals, and I won the Mr. Australia, the Australian Nationals, when I was 17.
So basically, the question is, what made you believe you were ready at that such a young age?
I didn't believe I was ready because I'd never really gotten into bodybuilding to compete. All I wanted to do was look like He-Man, the cartoon. And then when I trained at the gym, this other guy who was Mr. Australia said, Lee, you should compete. I'm like, I don't know, getting up on stage, I'm shy, people are going to be looking at me. So at 13, when I won my first three shows, I went, no, that wasn't too bad because up on stage I can't really see people, so it was not bad. And then at 14, I won some more shows and I placed third in like a class where there was a lot older men in it. And then 15, I won like my state title and stuff, and then 16 I took a year off, and then 17 had I won the state title again, then which qualified me for the Nationals, and that's the year my mum started training, and her and I were the first mother and son in the world to win a couples together. And so then I just, like I said, I didn't really think I was ready. It's just one of those things where, because I'd won this and qualified for it, I thought, okay, I may as well go ahead and do the Nationals type thing. So it's like even when I first come to America, just when I turned 20, because I'd won my national title three times here as Mr. Australia, but they said I was too young to get a pro card, so I was originally coming across to America with American Muscle, Lou Zwick, to do the Niagara Falls Amateur Show. When I was training down there at Gold's Gym, I think Jim Mannion was there, and that they're asking me what I'd done, what show was I doing. I said, well, I'm going to do the Niagara Falls Amateur, and they're like, what if you won? I said, well, I've won the Australia, this and that. And they said, why haven't you got your pro card? I said, well, they said I was too young, so they petitioned for me to get my pro card. So I ended up competing in the Niagara Falls Pro Show back then in 93. And even then, I'm standing on stage, and I'm thinking, wow, I'm on the pro stage. And rather than paying attention to what I'm doing, I'm standing there, and I'm looking along the line going, oh, fuck, look, there's Paul Dillette, there's David Durf, and, you know, these are all the guys I've been reading about in the magazine, so I was more excited just to be standing on stage with these people that I've seen in the magazines, because I originally was just coming over there for 2 weeks to do that amateur show, and then Irvin Gelb took some photos of me and sent to Joe Weider the first week I was there training in Golds, and then I got a contract with Joe Weider, so my two-week visit to America to compete ended up being a bit over 16-year stay.
Awesome. So it's pretty much just a natural progression then, just step by step.
Yeah, so I never got into bodybuilding to say I wanted to be a pro bodybuilder. It's like, I just find that if I enjoy something and I love doing it, I'll give it 100%. It's like when I got into the car racing, I just had fun car racing, and then that 1 year I got rookie of the year, and then the following year I said, well, I might do a few more races, see how it goes, and then the following year I won the championship. So I think it's like anything. If you enjoy something and you love doing it and you put everything into it, you'll become good at it if that's what you want to do. And that's why I always tell young kids these days who say, you know, when they want to get into bodybuilding, I'm going to be pro, I'm going to be Mr. Olympia and this and that, and then they want to talk about the drugs. I said, take the drugs out of it. If you've got, to me, your mind's going to be your most powerful thing you're going to use in this sport, bar none. So if you've got the right frame of mind, you've got the genetics, you train properly, you eat correctly, you sleep right, I said, without even touching a drug, if you've got the genetics for it, I said, you'll build a great physique. You'll know that bodybuilding is what you're meant to do. Simple as that. Now, if you have none of the above, and you can take all the drugs in the world, you ain't going to become a great bodybuilder. And I tell people at the seminars, I said, look, there are bodybuilders at certain levels. You have good, you know, regional level bodybuilders who are good in their region, but they just can't quite make the nationals. And you have the guys who are great national level competitors, but they can never quite seem to get their pro card. And then you'll have the ones who, okay, do become pro, but they might be like the, not the top pros. They still look great, but they're not that, you know, to me, when you're talking about the Ronnie Colemans, the Jay Cutlers, Phil Heaths, you know, Paul Dillette, you're talking about the top 1% there. And like I said, in any other sport, it's the same. I said, if you went around the world, there's probably a ton of great runners out there who can run hell fast. But I said, but to be a Usain Bolt or a Carl Lewis and all those types, you're talking about a 1%. And no matter what drug you take in the world, it ain't going to make you like that person. So it's like, you know, just use what you have. And as I said, if you're good at something, it's going to happen naturally. You won't need to push yourself, wherever it's, you know, like I said, athletics, gymnastics, whatever. If you love doing it and you give it everything, you'll be good at it without even touching a drug. So that's why I hate when these young kids, you know, before they even get to a gym, they start using drugs saying they're going to be a pro bodybuilder. It's like, listen, just do it a hard training, get a good foundation, train for a few years. Don't even touch a drug. If it's meant to be, you'll know it's meant to be, because your body will develop and you will start to look like a bodybuilder without even touching a drug.
In a world of advanced bodybuilding supplementation, the numbers don't lie. Fact, Iron Mag Labs is among the fastest growing hardcore supplement companies in the world. Fact, when it comes to no-nonsense, cutting-edge products, nobody delivers results like Iron Mag Labs. Fact, the Iron Mag Labs line of innovative formulation has set a new industry standard with products that are helping world-class bodybuilders reach levels they never thought possible. Iron Mag Labs is a proud supporter of bodybuilders everywhere. Discover the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements on the market. Visit IronMagLabs.com today.
If a sport or whatever activity does not come natural to you, then the chances that you're ever going to be really good at it are just minuscule. Like, I remember people, I was like a world-class deadlifter when I was powerlifting, and people asked, like, how do you deadlift 700 or whatever? And I'd be like, because that's just,
that's so just it's like, it's like, you know,
the first time I ever deadlifted, I was 18. I'd literally never done the lift before. I was 18 years old. I weighed like a 170 and I did 405 and I'd never seen the lift even done before. One of my buddies showed me how to do it. Like, it's just, my natural tendency was towards that lift and towards being powerful. You know, it's really not anything. I mean, I worked hard at it, blah, 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 but it's not like, it's a natural tendency that makes people great at certain things, you know?
And that's the thing that you'll find in the world, all the, like I said, you know, Tiger Woods, all these tennis players, or anyone that's the best at the best, if you took the drugs out of every sport, those guys would still be the best just because of their God-given natural ability to be good at that chosen sport. It's as simple as that. And that's what I try and get through to these young kids that, you know, if sometimes, you know, they don't want to accept it, but I see so many young kids year after year training and training, pumping all the drugs in, and they're never going to be a bodybuilder. They still don't even really look like one, but in their mind, they think if they take more drugs, they're going to finally get to that point where, listen, it ain't going to happen. You're better off just going to the gym for your health and pick another sport, or just be happy in general life doing what you do, you know, but don't try and kill yourself for something that isn't going to happen.
Yep. So, this is a good one. Frank the Spartan says, what's the best way to keep a small waist? Did you ever use vacuuming?
Only when I vacuumed the house, that's about it. But no, I never did the vacuuming. To me, I just never used weight on my waist. I did a lot of trunk twists with the broom handle on my back, and then just a lot of leg raises off the end of the bench, and then just laying on the floor doing crunches. I never did like the machine weight ones. I never did the rope sort of pull down ones. I just did body weight, things like that. And then even for the last few years, I never even really did abs because they were just so boring. You know, abs again, how it's thing. But now I see so many people using so much weight on those rope crunches, but you can just see they're pulling more with their arms, or they're using those, you know, the ab crunch machines. You can just tell them they're using their arms. It's like, you know, if you just use your body weight and did a normal crunch or leg raise and actually squeezed and tensed the muscles, you get this, but I can do 1,000 sit-ups, I can do, whatever. It's like those guys that say they can do hundreds of push-ups, and you watch them, they're going 100 miles an hour moving an inch. You know, that's not a proper push-up. And the same with the abs. If you do them correctly, you don't need weight on your abs because people forget they're a muscle. You add a ton of weight, they're going to get bigger. So I see people doing those big, heavy side bends with weight. Like, your obliques are muscle. You're going to build your oblique up. Your waist will get thicker if you do that type of stuff. So I've been lucky. My waist is pretty much the same size now as it was back when I was in my 20s. So, you know, that's, like I said, I've always just used body weight for abs more than anything, and just do them properly and, you know, just don't go crazy on stuff. But these days, I don't know, there's a lot of thick waist out there now.
That, I was talking to IFBB pro Roman Fritz, and he was telling me about how he, somebody gave him your first movie. I think it was your first movie, A Blonde Myth. And he said he watched it a million times because he was young. He's like my age, maybe even younger, like mid late 20s. And he said he was talking about this, so it made me want to go back and watch it again. I had seen it before, obviously. So I was watching it the other day and kind of skimming through it. And there's a part before your show. I think you're going to, I don't know what show you're getting ready for the first Blonde Myth, but you're in the hotel room before the show, and you're posing in the bathroom mirror.
Classic.
And that, your waist is so small in that filming. It's unbelievable. It looks like it's got to be like 25 inches or something. That there's some, I'm not sure who you have a girl behind you, like watching you hit the poses. I'm not sure who it was. But yeah,
I don't know why. I don't know why right now, but my fiance's just walked in and she's mooning me while I'm talking to you.
Oh, nice. Get some video of that.
Hello, that. No. Just to get some video of that. Now she's just looking at me weird, like, I can't believe you just said that. Yeah, that was at the Arnold Classic. Yeah, I was tanning up, yeah, getting ready for the show. Yeah, but I said, my waist hasn't really much changed. And, you know, you'd always hear the rumors that if you squat heavy, if you do this, if you do that, you know, you're going to get a fatter waist. But, you know, if to me, it's genetics. If you're going to get a big waist, you just structurally got a big waist. That's all it is. So, yeah, but,
yeah, I think,
you know.
I think there's a drug component. A little bit. These guys load up.
I think now there is these days with the insulin and everything else, and you know, carving up on insulin. To me, it's like the way they look these days on the Olympia stage is how I used to look. You know, a week or two after a show, where you're still in shape, you can still see your abs, but you're so bloated from eating. That's how we used to look after. You know, a week or two after the show, but they come out competing looking like that now. So it's crazy.
And if you look at a guy like Juan Morell. Juan Morell has one of the smallest waists in the IFBB right now. And the guy deadlifts and squats 700 routinely. Mm-hmm. And he eats like he gorges a couple times a week on just loads of junk food because he's got this mutant metabolism. He's eating like 15,000 calories a day of ice cream and burgers and everything. And his waist is tight as can be. And he's not a young guy either. He's in his mid-30s. So it's like all that, like, it's from heavy weights and stuff. I mean, I don't know. I think it's like going bald. It's 99% genetic. I mean, you can, you know, there's guys who go bald when they're 22 and they can't even name a steroid. There's guys who, look at Jay Cutler, you know, he's got a full head of hair, and it's just, it's a genetic thing.
I'll be hitting 43 soon. I've still got a full head of hair.
It's fake hair though, right? That's probably what they say.
Implants.
Implants. All right. Hugo376 says, favorite posing music and thoughts on Muscle Jacker?
Posing music, I've always preferred music. I wasn't one. If I guess pose, I'll use something more upbeat. But to me, I always like the styles of Bob Paris, you know, Lee Labrada, Muhammad McAway. To me, it's like I always preferred the slow, whether it be a love song or just a piece of music where a sort of, if you hear it, you just know, okay, it sort of moves you, and you hope that, okay, posing to it dramatically or doing something, it will move the crowd as well. So to me, just picking a song with a heavy beat to it where every second beat you hit a most muscular or stamp your foot and flex your leg, to me, just, you know, it's like, yeah. No, I prefer the older style, like I said, of the real good, you know, Ed Corney style, or those type of great, even Rusty Jeffers, the ones that make the poses flow well, to hit the poses good, and yet it can be a nice piece of music where, okay, like I said, you can come out with a heavy beat music, you hit a pose and the crowd goes crazy, or someone can start like Melvin doing the dancing and the crowd goes crazy. But to me, that's not posing. To me, it's like posing where you can actually capture the audience, where they're sitting there watching you like, oh, wow, look at that. You know, they're more in awe of the posing and the way you're making it flow and showing the muscles. To me, that's posing. And Muscle Jacker, I know he's been quiet for a while. Ever since he wrote that letter and got upset about my tattoos, I haven't heard from him lately. So
I honestly, I saw your video with Sam's Fitness about Muscle Jacker, and just the other day, literally like 3 days ago, I learned who that guy was, because he's like online famous people who've never really done anything. They're just famous because of the internet. Like, I'm assuming he's one of those guys. Like, I just don't.
I think there's a lot of them.
I just don't keep up, like, the Insta famous people. People are always like, younger kids are like, you know who this so-and-so is? I'm like, never heard of him before. And he's like, well, oh, he's like a bodybuilder. He's awesome. I'm like, are you sure?
Well, I was like that about oh, I can't remember his name. Someone said, oh, is it Boston Lloyd or someone like that? Someone said, what do you think of him? I'm like, who? I said, I've never even heard of him. So then there was some other guy, someone Fletcher, and I'm like, who the hell is that? Oh, they're online now. I'm like, oh, I was like, whatever.
Yeah, they're like YouTube famous people.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, like I said. It's like,
I don't spend all day clicking on YouTube. Those people.
It's like, you know, they're famous for doing what? The Kardashians, nothing. It's
like, yep.
So it's like, whatever.
Celeb Decon asks, how's the shoulder, Lee?
It's having its moments. The actual one that I had the operation on is pretty good. The left one at the moment was giving me trouble for a while. I think just back in the scapula area where it wasn't moving properly, it gave me hell for about almost a month, because, you know, I have pains that come and go, whether it be knee, elbow, shoulder, but normally it'll be there for a couple of days and it works its way out. But the shoulder stayed there for about a month or more. Then I finally went and got it sawed to and got some of that needling put in there, and you know, it was working pretty good after that. So at the moment, it hasn't been too bad, touch wood. But yeah, it still has its moments. I think, you know, just after years of training, everyone at some point has a, you know, shoulder problem or a little knee problem here and there. So I think as I get older, you try and train a little bit smarter. And just like I said, I still train, but just try and work around the injuries. And like I said, some days it can be murdered, and some days I can go to the gym and I'm like, not even there. So it's one of those things, you know, it's kind of a hit or miss. It could be a good day or it could be a bad day.
Let's see. Baron 93 wants to know, how did you build such good legs, particularly good hammies and calves?
I mean, just doing the basics, squatting. You know, I used to go heavy when I was younger, but then as I went along a bit more and trained with Tom, I started doing a lot of higher reps, which made my legs grow even more. So I think legs are one of those body parts where you can, you know, do the higher reps and they still respond and grow just as well. Because, you know, when I was younger, like I said, heavy, heavy, heavy. But anyone that knows that if you keep going heavy, 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 just the knees and the joints can't take it. So you need to break it up a bit. So, like I said, we just do weird things like, you know, where you're doing leg press, do hundreds of reps on leg press sometimes. Mm-hmm. Or you do it where you do 3 plates, 30 reps, 4 plates, 40 reps, 5 plates, 50 reps. Each time you add a plate, you try and, you know, if it's 6 plates, try to do 60 reps with that and that sort of thing. So legs are one of those body parts you can either do the heavy stuff or the, in a high rep. But to me, I always find the high reps more of a challenge because, you know, going heavy for 6 reps, you're like, cool, 6 reps, I'm done. If you've got, like, you know, sometimes 5 plates on a leg press and you're going for 200 reps, you're like, shit, I would have just done 6 on a heavy weight. I would have been done by now. So, like I said, you just got to mix it up and find what works for you. And hammies, when I was with Tom, I finally learned, I on a leg curl wouldn't sometimes go over 70 pounds. I'd just like, just really squeeze the hell out of them. Almost like you're doing a concentration curl for your hamstring, just because your hamstring is going to get worked down heavy on squatting and any leg press movement. So I just found that too many people hop on a leg curl machine and put the stack on, grab the handles and just start pulling their whole body, pulling the weight, you know, and this sort of stuff. And, you know, they're not really using their hammies. They're just using the body momentum to move it. But so if you lighten the load a bit, really concentrate on squeezing the hammies, I found they grow a lot better.
Yeah, I remember watching Better for the Olympia 2005, and you do this insane leg workout where it's crazy volume, and you do 4 plates in the leg press for 100 with no rest. The only rest you have are at the top, which you're not really resting. You're holding the weight. Then you put on 6 plates, and you do 60. And then you put on 7 plates, and you do like 45. Then it was just like an incredible. Then you went and you did one-legged squats and all kinds of different stuff. But that was an insane workout. I remember
watching that. You always find just try and mix it up with a leg. And I guess so many people get the same routine of, you know, it's leg day, let's squat, let's do this, let's do that. Or if we do higher reps, you're going to lose fingers. I remember when I was younger, my legs actually grew too quick. My legs overpowered my upper body. So I thought to myself, I'll start lightening the load and do more reps. And when I did that, they grew again. So, you know, I think legs are one of those things, like I said, can take a lot of punishment and they'll pretty much grow either way. So,
right.
So don't be scared to, you know, just do crazy things, mix it up, you know.
Yep. I don't think you competed in the Olympia that year, though.
Probably not.
05?
Oh, I didn't. No, I didn't. I probably would have won it that year if I did. Damn it. We'll never know.
I think the Battle of the Olympia was like you were 3 weeks out or 5 weeks out, and you were massive. You had a shirt on, but you're just getting to that point where you're just starting to lose water and stuff, but you're still got off-season size. Like you're gigantic in that.
I think that was the year when I just didn't want to sign the contract because, you know, when the contracts would come out back then, it was like you had to do the Battle for Olympia video, you had to do the behind-the-scenes pump-up room video, you had to do this other thing, you had to go to that banquet the night before the bloody contest, which, you know, it's good to meet the fans, but the last thing we want to do is be at a banquet the night before watching people eat food when we should be relaxing and just putting tan on. And then there's like so many clauses that we had to do, and if you don't sign this contract, you can't compete. I'm like, well, wait a minute, all of us guys have competed throughout the year, placed in the top three of a pro show, so we've earned the right to compete. But if I don't sign this contract and sign away all my rights to these videos and shit, which we don't get a dollar for, I can't compete. So I'm like, screw that. And I said to Gunther, what do you think about that? He goes, I don't like it, but I want to compete, so I'm going to sign. I said, why don't you guys all stand together? I said, that money should be going to some sort of fund for the bodybuilders, even if it's just a little bit from video sales. But yet, I don't know, just used to tick me off that you'd have to sign your life away. That'd be like, you know, someone, say, the NBA, you got Michael Jordan, he plays all throughout the year, and then when it comes time for the finals, listen, if you don't sign this contract where we can do all these DVDs of you, you don't get a dollar for it, but if you don't sign that contract, you're not playing in the finals. I'd be like, yeah, you know what, fuck off. It wouldn't happen in any other sport. So I just got sick of the contract. I wouldn't sign the contract. That's why a couple of years, I'm like, screw it, I'm not doing it.
Yep.
So I'll just go to the expo. I had more fun at the expo, actually, just hanging out there, talking to fans, meeting fans at the expo.
Same guy, Baron 93. Now, I'm assuming he's talking about pros like today. He said, this might be a dumb question, but do pros ever completely come off everything, or do they require at least some form of peptide to maintain size and vascularity?
Well, and I can't speak for other pros, but I know for myself, when I come off, I come off. That's it. I'll be off for months, and I won't touch a thing. So,
did you
and
feel like I said, shit when you did that, like for the first week or so?
No. I always felt like I couldn't wait to get off it. You know, if I was getting ready for a show and the diet was 12 or 16 weeks, I'd be on for that 12 or 16 weeks. And towards the end, I just start feeling shitty being on. It's almost like your body just feels like, okay, you're putting the foreign substance in. It's time to get off it. Then when I come off it, I felt great. You know, I think mainly just because, too, once the diet's over, you start eating again. So you get the rebound just from eating food. And I'd be back in the gym for a month or two. I'd get the best workouts ever. I'd get the best pumps. You'd be nice and full and stuff. So, yeah, it never bothered me. But, yeah, I know guys that say they're off, but all they do is lower the dosage or change stuff. But no, I could never wait to come off, and I'd be off for months at a time, and I never lost any size. That's why I can't understand when these guys say, well, when I'm on it, I'm strong and that, then I'd go to train with people. I say, let's go heavy. I can't go heavy. I'm not on nothing. And I'm saying, well, if you think that way, you're never going to get anywhere. So to me, half of it's all in their fucking mind. It's like, you know, when people say, well, you can't take that drug makes you hold water. I say, yeah, it makes you hold water because mainly you're using that drug in the off season, eating fucking McDonald's. It's the McDonald's making you hold the water, not the actual drug itself. So I never had a problem. I said I couldn't wait to get off the crap.
I remember when Muscle Tech came out with that Cell Tech shit, and it was like 80 grams of sugar per serving, and people would take it and be like, oh, creatine makes me wicked bloated. It's like, well, they recommend you do a loading phase, which is like 3 servings a day, so you're looking at like 240 grams of sugar. 240 grams of sugar add to your diet, and they're like, creatine doesn't make you bloated. It's like you're adding like, that's like a whole, like half a birthday cake of sugar added to your diet. Like, of course you're bloated.
When I was with Muscle Tech, people say, Lee, do you ever take that shit? You know, I got a good pump. I said, fuck no. I said, if I'm not competing, I have a fucking big bowl of Fruit Loops and whatever else, and I go to the gym and I get just as great a pump as if I'm fucking Cell Tech. You know, and it tastes a lot better than Fruit Loops or the Cocoa Pops or the Lucky Charms with the marshmallows. So,
did you take any of their products of Muscle Tech?
Nope. Not even their hydroxy cut.
All their products were like shit. Like, I can understand a couple Twin Lab products.
Even the hydroxy cut, VPX products I really enjoyed, and some of the Twin Lab ones were good. Infinite Labs, their products were great, and New Breed, they're really good. Like I said, if I don't like a product, I'm not going to say it. I said, even when I'm with a company, they're paying me, I'll say, if they got a product, I'll say it's shit, because it's shit. I'm not going to go out there and say, I've told them before straight up, look, if you sign me to your company, I don't want you saying I say it's the best product, because I won't. I say, you know, you're going to either fire me, get rid of me, whatever, because to me, it's like, you're not going to buy me out no matter what you give me, because I'm not going to go out there and say, this is the best product ever. Then you go out and buy it and it's shit. Then you say, well, Lee told us it was the best and it's shit. So fuck Lee, I'm not going to believe a word he said ever again. I said, no, I'd rather go about your money than rather lie to people. I said, I've never been that way and I'm not going to be that way. So like I said, when I had my 3-year contract with Muscle Tech, after 8 months I got out of it. They're like, well, we'll take you to court. I said, well, take me to fucking court. I'll still say your product's shit. I don't give a damn. So it's like,
yeah, I know that I've worked in supplement stores for the last like 7 years, and I know the ins and outs of all the products and the whole industry, and it's just like Muscle Tech made some of the worst products, and I know that Juggernaut did make some good products, and VPX is expensive, but they do make some pretty good stuff. I mean, some of their stuff's kind of wacky, but a lot of their stuff, like their energy drinks, are like the best energy drinks on the market. Those Bang drinks are crazy.
Well, like I said, well, I'm with Black Skull now. I've been in Black Skull 5 months, and people ask me, Lee, what's it like? I haven't got a fucking clue. They still haven't sent me any products. They haven't sent me any Lee Priest Black Skull t-shirts, drink bottles, nothing. And even last month, they didn't even send me a paycheck. So I don't fucking know. So, people, if you want to ask me what Black Skull's like, I don't know. I had an email actually saying that there's something in customs, 30 kilos of product. So, I guess it's sitting at customs because they haven't put the – you got to put in the form just saying what's in there, protein and the contents, because Australia, we can't have certain products here. So, right. Maybe in a couple of weeks when I actually get some product and on the next show, I might be able to tell you what Black Skull's like. But at the moment, I wouldn't have a clue what their product's like.
Yeah. Huh. Well, at least it's not kaput yet.
No.
So you would say, like, I mean, obviously you're with Black Skull now, so it's hard to tell, but what companies do you think were the best to work for, like, as far as supplements go?
Yeah. New Breed. I still got some of them in the cupboard now. I still use, and even the guy there said, Levi, I need any, he'd still send them to me. Like, you know, I would recommend New Breed without a doubt, and some of the Infinite Labs ones, they were great, so I never had a problem with them. You know, some of the other ones, like I said, when I was with Twin Lab, they were good, but then they got sold out through to, was it Anthony Robbins, that motivational guy, ended up buying out Twin Labs and that. But yeah, I still love ProLab when I was with ProLab, but Natrol brought them out. So sometimes, you know, when another company comes along and buys them out, they change formulas and do stuff to it. But now, if I could pick one right now still that I would use, I'd still pick New Breed and Infinite Labs.
Did Steve Blackman own Twin Lab when you were there?
Yep, they still did, yep.
Huh. Interesting. Well, Lee, that's all.
Then they went that different direction, and that's when that Anthony Robbins, the motivational guy, Spirit Fingers, he owned Ideasphere or something. He ended up buying them out. Then they were going in a different direction. So
I think they're pretty much dead now because.
Yeah, I guess that's the direction they went. Yeah.
All the stores I've worked in have had like the store I'm in now. My store has like one Twin Lab product. And it's like their shitty amino fuel that's like half sugar and 11 grams of amino.
That's like half these energy bars when I'm in stores. People say, Lee, what if you got these protein bars? I'm like, you know, half of them are just shit. I said, like, if I'm going to get ready for a contest and I want a fucking protein bar, I'll go buy a fucking Kit Kat and have a protein drink with it. To me, it's just the same. You know, they have these ones, you know, those Oh Yeah bars and all these. They're like, oh, wow, they're so good. I said, yeah, it's just like eating a chocolate bar. So go have one. Go have a cherry ripe and have a protein drink.
Pants too.
Oh, yeah, I've had a few of those. I remember, I love some of Lee Labrada's products. I remember when Lee Labrada brought out that low-carb chocolate, whatever it was, but it had that stuff in it. You've ate the whole bar, man, were you on the toilet? Then he brought out that brownie mix, and I made some brownies and ate them all at once. Holy hell, did I have the worst stomach ever for a whole day. I was in pain. I could have shit through the eye of a needle. Fucking hell. It's like, God, that's some sort of glycerol, whatever they put in it, that just went through you. Oh, that was bad.
Lee Labrada makes some good RTDs, those lean body RTDs are pretty good.
Yeah. I actually used to like his ice cream too, but I think he stopped making that, but you know.
Yeah, I'm not really into the halfway foods,
I'm the same like that with ice cream. If people say, oh, but there's a good low-fat protein ice cream, I was like, well, I'll go buy, you know, Streets brand, you know, light ice cream, and I can just, you know, let it melt a little bit, then throw in two scoops of protein powder, stir it in, and there you go, I've got protein ice cream. It's like when people come out now with, oh, Lee, there's that new protein powder, have you seen? It's got oats in it. I'm like, I can fucking make that at home. I can get oats and protein powder and make it myself. Whoopee fucking do, you know? It's no new invention. It's like...
Yeah, there's like protein potato chips out there now and everything. It's like, to me, when I eat those types of things, it just makes me want the real thing. It's like, if I have a brownie chocolate bar.
And if you do have that low-fat food, you're never satisfied. So to me, it's better off having the real thing because you end up having a smaller amount. And because it has a little bit of fat or sugars in it, you're satisfied. That low-fat stuff, low-carb stuff, you keep eating. And then, like you said, you want the real thing. Then after you've had the low-fat one, you go, oh, fuck it, I'll go get the real thing anyway. So you've pretty much doubled your calories anyway.
Yep. But, all right, Lee, that's all the questions for this time.
Sounds good.
Like I said, we'll probably do another one here in a couple weeks. We'll get the other shows going and see how everything falls together and make sure we get enough credit. We're going to make it on the Iron Magazine forum, Iron Mag forum. We're going to put an actual thread. If everyone wants to go to the Iron Mag forum, it's ironmagforums.com. There's going to actually be a separate.
I'll have to go on there and log in. I'll come up with some name, Lee Priest. It's funny when I go on place, I log in with Lee Priest. Someone's like, "Name's taken." I'm like, "What?"
Oh yeah, of course. You're still on Facebook. You're still on Facebook like four times over. You know.
Oh yeah, even though, they're probably still answering questions. People think they're talking. I have Twitter now, but before I didn't have Twitter. People like I'd be at places. Hey Lee, I'm such and such. I speak to you on Twitter all the time. I'm like, I don't have Twitter. I don't know who you're talking to, but it ain't me.
Oh man, that's terrible. We had Iron Magazine forum, ironmagforums.com. There's going to be an actual like sub forum for each show. I have Beyond the Spotlight. That's my interview show. And then this is International Iron with Lee and I. That'll have its own. They'll all have their own like sub forums. We'll have an actual bodybuilding show. And then we'll have an off topic show too. And we got Patrick Arnold, Mike Arnold, like two of the big drug experts in the game, and then a few other people, Rob DiMaggio and myself. So
when those forums are up, let me know and I'll come on.
Yeah, the forum has been up for a long time, but those actual sub forums will probably be coming up sometime in the next week or so.
Okay.
All right, Lee. Till next time.
Sounds good. Great talking to you.
You too, Lee. This is Jeff Roberts for Lee Priest on International Iron, and we are out.